Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing great. Excited about this show.
I am too. I have a particular interest in this topic. It's very timely for me, but I think it's important for so many of our listeners to understand and learn about these folks. Please join me in welcoming to the program from Paul Davis Restoration, Mr. Wilson Tamala, President, and Mr. Brad Grimes, Grand Poobah of Marketing. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. So now, Wilson, do you mind sharing a little bit about Paul Davis? What are you guys doing for folks?
Sure. Let me give you a bit of history of Paul Davis. Paul Davis is a franchise network. We are over 350 franchises throughout North America, and that is United States and Canada. Started roughly about 50 years ago by an individual by the name of Paul Davis.
Clever and, naming strategy.
And so you can call me Paul.
Okay.
So the way this whole thing started is that he was involved in construction. He was constantly asked by adjusters to help them assess losses such as fire, structural losses. And he felt that there was a good need. It was a need that needed to be filled. So he started this as a, just as a concept, one company in Jacksonville. Then he felt that if he could produce a model, he could have franchises. So that's in essence how the whole thing started.
So
he started in Jacksonville.
And can you share a little bit, some maybe define some terms, like what does an adjuster, what's an adjuster do?
Typically, our work is mostly focused on insurance restoration work. So when anybody has a catastrophic loss, such as water, fire, trees, wind, et cetera.
Right.
The first step is if you have a home, most likely you have an insurance policy.
Right.
An insurance policy is designed to protect you against potential catastrophic losses. So when you do have a loss, the first thing that happens is you call your insurance company. The insurance company will provide you with a claim number. That claim number typically is associated with an adjuster. The adjuster is the one that comes to your house and tries to settle the claim.
Now, the adjuster works for the insurance company, or they're a third party?
Well, it depends. Most captive insurance companies have their own adjuster. Companies such as the larger companies will have their own adjusters. Mm-hmm. Smaller companies will typically use an independent adjuster to do that work on their behalf.
Now, who is the person that's advocating for the individual that had the loss?
The insurance company is obligated to pay what is necessary to return the home to the conditions prior to the loss.
Right.
What we do is help the homeowner make sure that a scope of work is put together that actually results in the property being restored to conditions prior to the loss. So as a contractor, we actually work for the insured, not the insurance company.
But the adjuster is the one who would call you in, or would sometimes the individual who had the loss call you in?
It both ways. There are times in which an adjuster will call us in. Many adjusters, in our case, many adjusters were very, very comfortable with asking us to help them. Mm-hmm. You know, for us, a reconstruction is an everyday thing. For
right,
an adjuster,
right.
it's a little tougher. Right?
And it's a common misconception that, you know, the insurance companies are just going to tell you who is going to do the work. It's always up to the homeowner to decide who you want to do the work at your property. The only thing after that is agreeing on the scope of work with that insurance company.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, regarding the scope of work, because it surprises me a little bit, to hear that even though it may be the adjuster, the insurance company who coordinates all this, ultimately you're really working for the insured, the person who has experienced the loss. Is that correct?
That is exactly correct.
All right. So this person, in a lot of cases, I suspect, really, even if they are presented with a scope of work, they don't really necessarily know what they're looking at or know how to, right? So they must really have to place a great deal of trust in you and your team. That's an important part of your business, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's a great deal of trust of having a contractor that knows what they're doing, that is honest, that has the integrity to make sure that you get exactly what you're supposed to get as a result of your loss. Yes. So in essence, you know, an adjuster responsibility typically is just to adjust the claim and make sure that he moves on to the next one.
Right.
As a contractor, our responsibility is to the homeowner, make sure that whatever it is in that estimate reflects what it was there prior to the loss.
All right. So some more on the scope of work thing. So once the scope of work is presented and the insured, the person or people who have experienced the loss, once they sign off on this scope of work, have they pretty much drawn the borders around what's going to, the money it's going to cost and what's going to be done? Is there some path to come back and say, yeah, but we really needed this done and that done? Or
of course, an adjuster will try to write an estimate based on what they see. They don't go further into a structure to see what other damages, say fire, for example, in your case, since you had a fire, what's behind that structure. They don't. And that's pretty common. You can't estimate for things that you don't see.
Right.
So you want a contractor that understands that aspect of it, of insurance restoration, because when you take walls out, there's a potential that you will have some additional damages. So the way that's handled is with what is called a supplement.
Okay.
So once you have an estimate, typically the first estimate tends to be a preliminary estimate. It's not a final estimate. Then as you start working on the home, there are things, for example, that you'll find behind the wall. There are things that potentially, as a result of tremendous amount of smoke, smoke is pretty acidic. And if it's right. not cleaned properly, then it's damaged and it's no good anymore. So that would go into a supplement. Or let's just say you're trying to remove a backsplash and, you know, you do your best as a contractor, you will do a best effort to try to remove it. If in the process of removing it, it breaks, then that would be a supplement.
But okay, for our listeners who don't know, this is a very real topic for me personally. My home, much of it burned on October the 22nd of this year. My wife and I, we are in this process. The company we've been working with has been marvelous so far. They were very quick to cut us a check just to kind of get through some stuff. They didn't give us any flack at all about us moving to a really nice, safe, comfortable apartment during this time. We're in this process now where in the next, 8 or 10 days, we're going to walk through with someone the scope of work. And candidly, I'm a little bit edgy about it because everybody who's ever listened to this show knows I have two tools at my house, a telephone and a checkbook. I don't know anything about it. So this is a very real-time topic of conversation for me. So what I think I'm hearing here is that you're not necessarily committing to the entire spend, the entire project, when you sign off on this initial scope of work, but you do need to be careful and make sure you're including as much as you can.
That's right. If it's damaged by the fire, it must be there. It okay. must be in your estimate. So
right.
you want to make sure that you have a contractor that truly has your interest in mind, right? Because it's, you know, some people might claim that, oh, the insurance companies don't want it. You know, insurance companies are insurance companies. Their job is to settle the claim, and they do the best to settle it the fastest way possible. As a contractor, fast is not necessarily the best way.
Right.
Right. So we need to make sure that we understand what the damage is and see that we provide the best avenue to get that damage fixed. Right. And an insurance company might say, well, you can remove and reset this. And in my perspective, based on my experience, I said, well, we can do that, but this is not going to reset correctly. It needs to be replaced. There's going to be some back and forth until the level of knowledge that we have they'll eventually might say, yeah, you're right. I guess it needs to be replaced. So that's the back and forth discussions that happens in settling a claim, right? In making sure that your contractor truly has your interest in mind. And he's your best ally.
Now, if like, let's take Stone's situation here. He's going in, the insurance company seems to be the one that he's working with. There is no third-party advocate for him. So he's basically just trusting them that they're going to do the right thing. Do you find that it's better to have a third party in there just to have different, you know, independent eyes and ears in the situation? Or do you find that most insurance companies are, you know, going to do the right thing?
My recommendation is that you find a third party that can advise you on what's happening to your home. There's a lot of dynamics in a fire that one thing might look fine today, but 90 days from now,
right,
it may not. So you want to have that. As I said earlier, the insurance company will pay you for what they see. They can't estimate what they don't see. So you want to have a contractor that understands fires, that understands structures. So the moment they see something that's not in the estimate, they flag it, take pictures, send that supplement to the insurance company so they can account for it.
Because you said, you do this every day. So you've been in fires quite a bit in your
15 years
worth of fire looking. This is Stone's first fire.
And hopefully his last.
So there's probably things that he would walk right by and not realize, oh, I should pay attention to that. That's going to come back and bite me in 6 months. Where for you, you might see it in a blink of an eye. As soon as you walk in, it might be obvious.
That is correct.
All right. So another topic, more dear to my wife, but it's important. So let's go ahead and make the assumption that with or without the benefit of an objective third party and with the goodwill and intent of the contractor and the insurer and the insured, we're properly funded and getting the right work done. And, oh, by the way, even though my kitchen used to have this kind of fluorescent lighting, Mr. Contractor, while you're here and we're down to the studs anyway, could we do can lighting? And then I understand maybe that's a little more expensive. And if so, can we have another little legal pad or spreadsheet over here on the side that acknowledges, hey, we went back with a little better stuff over here and a little better stuff over here. And
right, so since we'll clean you're up remodeling, the math later. Can we just kind of update and upgrade?
That's what is called a change order. Right?
Change order, okay.
It's a change order. And it's managed no different than any other change order when you're doing a remodeling, right?
Okay.
You've started something, you decide midstream to change something, it's a change order. So at that moment, what we would say to you, hey, your fluorescent lighting, I'm just going to throw a number here, right? To do this is $100, just to make it simple, right? You can lights because we have to add wiring to this, you know, 4, 6, 8, 10 different is $80 each, right? So $80 times 6 is $240. You have $100 on your, I'm sorry. That's
480. It's all right. I'm the math guy.
What did I do?
240.
I like your number better.
You're already saving him money.
6 times 4. I said 80, right?
Right.
6 times 8. I'm sorry. That's what is it?
480.
It's 480. You have a credit of $100, so your change order will be in writing indicating that your net cost is $380.
All right, so and we can clean up the math as we go,
absolutely.
And the insurance company's cool with that too. They don't get upset that we're just kind of going outside. These change orders.
Typically, they're going to only cover what was there, and if what you had previously is not available, say, you know, that's been discontinued, they'll allow for a slight upgrade. However, if you're completely changing something, that change order is going to be, that cost is going to be up to you to pay for the difference.
Right, which makes perfect sense to me. I'm just but it's not like I have to put everything back exactly the way it was. And now's as good a time as any to do can lighting in the kitchen. She's been wanting to do
it. Is that common to do changes?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's not anything unusual. You're not asking for something.
We just keep up with the math. And
not at all. What the insurance does not want a contractor or a homeowner to do is to make that part of the insurance.
Sneak in the can lighting and say, I got it.
That's fair.
So you're owed to replace with like, kind, and quality.
Gotcha.
That's the term that we use all
like,
the time.
Like, kind, and quality.
Yeah.
All right. I'll be throwing that around.
Use that a lot. So now, Wilson, could you share a little bit about how you kind of hooked up with Paul Davis and why you chose that route?
My career, I started as an engineer. I started in the nuclear industry.
Oh, it makes perfect sense.
Was there a fire?
There's a couple of twists on the roads here, but that's how I started my career. Then I went into product development. From there, I went into management consulting, and then I got an offer to move to Georgia. I lived in New York all this time. I actually have my engineering degree is from Stony Brook University of New York, and I have what is called a high tech MBA from NYU, which is now NYU. And so I moved to Atlanta. There was some management, the president that I reported to left the company, and I felt that it was a good time for me to leave as well. He was the one that brought me in. I didn't think it was a good idea for me to stay. I had negotiated a brass parachute. You know, you heard of a golden parachute. This is a brass parachute. And so I wanted to explore kind of doing something on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And with the support of my beautiful wife, wonderful wife, actually Brad knows her, she said, you know, it's time for you to do what you need to do. And that's explore doing something on your own. When I looked at the franchise network, one of the things is the franchise will do is give you kind of a business model so you can follow a model. I liked it because it was it's a very democratic, as opposed to most franchises. This is a very democratic franchise network. So I liked it, and I knew construction, I knew structures, so it was a good fit.
So were you looking at, did you have a short list, or was this the only one on it that you were really considering?
I actually had a job offer to be an assistant vice president, and I declined that offer.
Oh, so you had other options.
I had other options.
So, but when you were choosing the franchise, so how did you go about, because our listeners, a lot of them are interested in this and are in this kind of maybe second act of their career, and they're considering this. When you know, there's a million franchise choices, so you kind of started eliminating certain ones that you had no interest in. Obviously, you wanted to stay within at least the kind of the world you knew a little bit about, like using your engineering background. So this made sense from that standpoint. Were there other franchises in this kind of industry that were considering?
There were several business opportunities, including an export business that I looked at. And ultimately, you have to decide on, one, will I enjoy this?
Right.
Two, would this provide me with some level of income to, I have two kids then, would that be enough? And is there a future? Is this something that I will enjoy doing it for a long time?
Now, was it something that you said, I want a franchise where I don't have to do anything, I'm going to just hire some people and I'm just going to sit back and not be involved? Or you wanted it to be hands-on? You wanted to be involved the day-to-day? What part of the kind of the work did you want to do?
There's a misconception that a franchise will do everything for you. That is not the case. If anybody thinks buying a franchise means that the franchisor is going to do everything for you, don't do it. A franchise is no different than any other business.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that a franchise will provide you is, in some cases, some clients, customers, and also a business model.
Right.
Which has been obviously has been proven.
Sure.
And so that reduces your learning curve.
Right.
So and that's the risk. And to some extent risk. So that's what a franchise network will do for you. anybody. However, if any of the listeners thinks that that's the
right. So you didn't just say, okay, I'm Paul Davis now. And you just sat by the phone and the phone just started ringing because you were now Paul Davis and you wrote them a franchise check, right?
You know, there is a franchise that flips burgers. Right?
Yes.
That's very well known.
Right.
Even in that franchise, you still have to do work.
Really? You can't just write them a check and just sit back and the money just flows in like an ATM machine, no. Right?
As a matter of fact, you can see that even in those franchises go out of business. But,
right. Yeah. So now in your case, you went with Paul Davis. I'm sure you had to go there for some training and you had to kind of learn about how they do the Paul Davis way, right?
Absolutely.
And then one of the first things when you chose this territory, or did you choose the territory or they gave you the territory?
I chose the territory.
Okay, and that's near where you live or work or you were comfortable
that
with?
That is correct, yes.
Right. So now you pick this territory and then you start there. Were you the only game in town or were people using other services or how'd you get the word out?
No, this is a very competitive environment. Mm-hmm. There were other companies that in the same environment.
Right.
I just felt that I had something to offer. And so slowly but surely, you know, some marketing, some advertising, some door-to-door. You know, I literally started as a greenfield. So there was literally nothing. And so there was a lot of work. Before, you know, I started making some money.
Right, because your business isn't the person that necessarily wants to just add, a sunroom on, right? That's not your business.
You're absolutely right. I actually, you know, when you're in business, you got to find a way to do whatever is required to make money. And so we actually, when I started, did some renovation work. Uh-huh. And until I started building a portfolio and also a reputation in the restoration side. But I actually started in the renovation work. So it's something that I was very
familiar. Was that something Paul Davis recommended you do? Or were you just doing what you had to do?
Well, Paul Davis does renovations as well.
Uh-huh.
But our prime our focus is restoration work.
Right.
But we do renovation. We actually do, my company, Paul Davis of North Atlanta, does renovation as well as restoration in both the commercial side and the residential side.
And now these services under the restoration umbrella, we've been talking about fire a lot because we've been talking about me because that's one of my favorite topics. But there's the water damage. There's a lot of things that fall under restoration, right? There's this mold thing. You got to worry about the mold. And can you just talk about some of those services?
Sure. You want to take this on or you want me to?
Sure, yeah. Well, typically in the industry, we like to use the word microbial growth because everyone just seems to run for the hills when they hear the word mold. But yeah, it's definitely something we take care of. You want to make sure that anyone that you hire on to come in and handle that, it has the proper certifications to do so. And we make sure that everyone has proper safety protocols as they're cleaning this. You know, they are required to wear protective equipment during the entire process. And it's very specific guidelines for how you handle that. Some people will tell you can just wipe it off and, you know, you'll take care of it. Just
409.
Throw some 409 or some bleach at it. And, you know, it's not always the case. You got to be careful about mold spores. You got to be careful about it spreading. Is it on the other side of the drywall that you're wiping it off of? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of things you want to consider. And so, you know, it's always a good idea to hire someone that knows what they're doing.
All right. So mold can happen on its own. My home is susceptible to mold because of the water that the firemen threw over the fire to put the fire out, right?
They're so inconsiderate.
So I will tell you, this is what I say about mold.
Uh-huh.
Mold happens. Mold is everywhere, right? But what most people don't understand is that it's not, you have mold in, before the fire, you have mold in your bathroom, right? The issue is that you never had a high level of concentrated mold. That's where the problem is.
Okay.
If you go outside, you'll find molds right around this area, everywhere. So the focus is to make sure that you don't have concentrations that exceed what's out there, right?
And I don't have a farm that just keeps making it.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So mold loves humidity, loves the right temperature, and loves darkness, right? if you have those three things, and there's not, and like stillness, right? So if you have a lot of air movement, it's very unlikely that you are going to have mold. It's difficult. So those are the elements that mold likes. And as long as you have those elements, that's a great environment for it to grow.
But you don't have to have a fire. There are people right now that have unhealthy levels of mold in their home. They haven't had a fire. And they just mean there's just damp, and that needs to be checked out, right?
Under any kind of sink, that typically is what you see. You'll come across it. Actually, I'm purchasing a home right now, and we found some mold underneath one of the basement's sinks. And it's not that it was, neglect or anything. It's just they had a small leak, didn't realize it, for a little bit. And that moisture, the lack of light, and the food source he was referring to is actually the drywall, the paper. You have those all together, and you're going to get a little bit of mold. But luckily, I know a great company that can help me take care of that.
So it wasn't a knockout factor for you, but at least you knew what to look for. You found it, and then you're bringing in a great restoration mold mitigation.
Absolutely.
Gurus or whatever. Yeah.
There you go.
So now... getting back to how you started and kind of grew your business to where it is today, 15 years later, how important was kind of immersing yourself in the community, and not just the community of the people that are homeowners, but also into the insurance world and the investor world, because those are people that probably help refer business to you as well?
At the end, this business is no different than any other business. People do business with people they know and people they like.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important for us to, that's what part of Brad's job is, to make sure that we're out there in the community. And that is from meeting, going to agencies so they know who we are, participating in community events. We have done even trade shows. We have participated in different organizations so our name gets out.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had several conversations with, agents and adjusters that had said, "Oh, I didn't know you did that." So it's amazing, like, how important it is to communicate, everything you can do, because when it comes to structure, there's very little that, Paul Davis can't take care of for you.
Right. When it comes to this field. And it's funny that you say that, because I'm sure that we each have relatives that don't know what we do. Do you think that everybody knows what you do, but then they didn't get that you also did this other thing.
Yep.
So that's what, Brad, that you're charged with, is getting the word out and helping tell the story?
Absolutely. So, like you kind of briefly mentioned, that I'm kind of in charge of building relationships with agents and adjusters. But outside of that, we're also getting involved with a lot of property management companies as well. As you know, there's a lot of, apartments in the area, especially in Metro Atlanta. And it's very important to get in front of these property management companies because, with the amount of residential properties that they own, you're constantly seeing problems, whether it be a pipe burst or a small kitchen fire or, some mold. We actually see a lot of, microbial growth. we actually see a lot of that in the property management companies because they just have so much properties to deal with.
Right. So now when you're saying property management, that's apartments as well as kind of the people who own lots of homes?
Correct. Yeah. So, some property management companies don't deal with apartments at all. They only deal with, single standalone homes. So, all of that's under the same umbrella, and we want to make sure that, they know what we do.
And then how do you serve them?
Some of the ones we're working with in Atlanta, like I briefly mentioned, is pretty much mold, and we're even doing renovations. So when a tenant moves out and they need to turn over the apartment, it might be a perfect time to kind of handle some remodeling for them. And that's where we kind of come in, can do a complete remodel of the apartments. A few years ago, we did roughly $1 million of renovations across several different buildings that they owned and upgraded all their amenities. It was a big project for us, and they're very happy, and we continue to work with them today.
So do other customers and potential customers ask some of the same questions, have some of the concerns I've described today? What kind of concerns do they have? The commercial customers, the adjusters, those kind of folks, and the homeowners? What kind of questions or concerns do you guys get?
So in the residential side, things are very emotional. Right. A home is the most important investment for most people. So we have to walk that aspect very carefully. Right. That kind of ties in with our values. You know, one of our values is empathy, right? If you don't have empathy, you should not be in this business, is what I tell my guys. That's a critical element.
It's asking a lot, though, because you also need to be objective in the project aspect of things, but then you have to be empathetic because you're dealing with stone and holly, not brick and wood. I mean, wow, that's asking a lot of people.
Of course, it's not an easy thing, because you have to make sure that the homeowner understands what is it that we're doing, why that's necessary, and why at times it is not necessary, right? And when they see something that is very personal, such as a home, you have to be very careful how you communicate what might not be necessary that they feel is necessary. And that's the tactfulness that you have to use. That's why empathy is so critical. Without it, what you do is just what I've always done, and this is the way it is, and that's all there is.
And some of the common questions and concerns that I've heard is, you know, is your company reputable? I haven't heard of Paul Davis before. How can I check you out? And whoever you work with, I don't care if you're researching a television to purchase for Christmas, appliances, if you're hiring somebody to do work at your home, the process is the same. Do your research. Make sure you know who is coming into your home. Make sure you understand who they are. Check them out on the Better Business Bureau. Make sure they're A+ rated. Check out some of their social reviews. Check them out on Facebook and some Google Plus and some of the other sites that are out there. Take a look at them. Another concern that people have is what guarantees are in place to back up the work. So I'll even let you talk a little bit about the completion services that we have that kind of backs up all the work that we do. And in the event that he just decides to move to Aruba, is that where you're?
You know, I always tell people that, you know, unfortunately, the general contracting business has not a very good reputation. I believe we're second to attorneys, right?
Ouch.
And so it is critically important that how we communicate is authentic, it's empathy. People understand what we do. But more importantly, people understand outside of that, they need to know the business side of it. So one of the aspects that we offer that nobody offers in the industry, period, at least the last time I checked, that was a couple of months ago, is what is called completion services. That is, let's just use your home as an example. We reach an agreement in which Paul Davis is going to repair your home, and something happens to me. God forbid, get a heart attack. And so, you know, you have paid me a portion of the repairs, and you're going to go, oh my goodness, this company, Wilson, is gone. It's going to go belly up. What do I do? Well, I will tell you, that would be the least of your problems, because we actually, Paul Davis funds this insurance policy. I'm gonna call it insurance policy because it's self-funded. We have millions and millions of dollars to protect customers such as yourself in case something happens to the company that is handling the Paul Davis franchise that is handling your loss. Everything is fully covered. As a matter of fact, you don't have to get another company to finish. Another Paul Davis will come in and finish that job. Nobody else offers that. So
I would find that extremely comforting. I can tell you that.
Yeah, because if somebody's doing work in your home and they you know, say, hey, we'll give you a 1-year warranty. In 6 months, that company goes out of business. How good is that warranty?
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's gone.
So we offer a 3-year warranty. And by the way, those funds cover. If I was to go out of business, you're still covered, even though I'm out of business. I think that is a pretty powerful. We like to think it's a pretty powerful thing to convey to a homeowner or a business owner.
So the guarantees are, you know, clearly in place with Paul Davis. One of the last concerns I want to address is, am I getting a good price? That's another question I hear from a lot of the customers that I've dealt with. And you want to work with a company that uses the same software that the insurance companies use. The only time the price should ever be different is there's a different scope of work. So there's always going to be that back and forth. And we spoke about the scope of work a little earlier, but you want to make sure that they're using the same software the insurance companies use. So there's not this huge disparity.
Now, Wilson, is there any story over the years that you're most proud of, any success story that you can share with our listeners that kind of illustrate the difference working with Paul Davis?
Yeah, Brad, I've heard this story before. So, there's one pretty unique story that actually I feel very, very personal, feel very proud because I handled this client. This customer had a tree, huge oak tree fallen on her house. This lady had a speech impediment as well as an issue with walking. So she has some issues with mobilizing on her own. And I met the adjuster at the property. We came up, we walked the property, we came up with an agreed scope, with that an agreed estimate, and the homeowner did not have a mortgage, so the house was free and clear. And after we went back, we wrote the estimate, we met again with the adjuster, and the homeowner and the adjuster literally said, "Well, I'm going to write you a check." It was for $300,000+. I'm going to write you a check. And Mr. Tamala or Paul Davis has agreed that this is what it will take to repair your home. And of course, there's the option that if there's any supplements, he will send those supplements to me and we'll get your home back together. And the homeowner literally looked at me and says, "Mr. Tamala, I'm going to give you the full $350,000+. And she looked at me and he says, "I trust that you're going to do the right thing." And the adjuster went, no, you don't have to. You should not do that. I recommend that you do not give the full check to any contractor. He is a very good contractor, but I don't recommend that you do that." He literally said that. And she looked at me and says, "But there is one condition. Every 2 weeks, I want you to pick me up at my residence, at my temporary residence, and bring me to the house to see the progress that you're making." I said, "Mrs., you got a deal." And I will tell you, the biggest problem I have with that homeowner is a toilet. She had a very, very expensive toilet, so I purchased a very expensive toilet. And she goes, "I don't like that toilet. I want you to replace that toilet." I says, "Ma'am, but you had a very expensive toilet." She goes, "I know. I want you to take me to Home Depot, and I want to pick my toilet." So I brought her to Home Depot, picked up her toilet, which was about 1/4 the price of the toilet that I had put in her house. And we installed the toilet at her house, and it says, "Yep, this is the one I like. You can take that one, ma'am, but this is your toilet. I don't want it. You can take it. Put it in your house." So I will tell you, so I did put it in my house. And in the basement of my house, I had the most expensive toilet I've ever purchased. That's a real story.
That is a fantastic story. Oh, man. The work you do, it must be incredibly rewarding.
Well, if it's not, I better be doing something else. It is. Let me tell you, that's stories like that is the most satisfying. When people tell you, "My goodness," when we see reviews that people tell, "My goodness, you guys were spectacular." Kind of your chest kind of rose a little bit and you feel terrific. Yeah, of course. That's the best way for me to confirm I'm in the right business. Right. That's when you're making a difference to the people you work for, that's a great feeling.
Yeah, the best feedback's always a referral, right? So
yeah. No better sales tool, right, than doing good work.
Yeah, as long as you're doing the right thing, like you mentioned, if you're being authentic, you're being empathetic, you're doing the right thing all throughout the process, people are going to want to use you. They're going to talk to their family and their friends, and they're going to mention you. And that's where it all starts and ends. And I think that's true with any business, just doing the right thing.
All right, where can our listeners go to learn more, have a conversation with you, Brad, or you, Wilson? What's the best place, best way for them to get in touch?
So they can always visit our website, pdnorthatlanta.com. You can find out about all the services that we offer and a little bit of background about the company as well. Or if you have any questions, you'd like to speak to us directly, you can always call us at 770-985-1727. We're available 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year. You know, the office may close at 5, but we have an answering service, so we have people on call at all hours.
Well, gentlemen, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show this afternoon, as I'm sure you both could well suspect. I'd like to have more conversation after we get off the
Absolutely,
air.
You can count on it.
But this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor. Our guests today, Wilson Tamala and Brad Grimes with Paul Davis Restoration. Our fearless producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on High Velocity Radio.